This is KUAR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We are breaking into our regular programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. The governor coming to us today from the state capitol here in Little Rock, just after delivering his annual State of the State address, and that formally began the fiscal session of the Arkansas legislature. The latest update from the Arkansas Department of Health shows the state has exactly 1,000 cases of the coronavirus confirmed, and 18 people have died from COVID-19, the disease caused by the novel coronavirus. That 1,000 figure is up from the 946 cases announced yesterday by Governor Hutchinson. He also announced that Logan and Clay counties have seen their first cases. We also heard an update yesterday from Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith saying the state has completed its greatest number of test results, or received its greatest number of test results, in one single 24-hour span. That was 1,436 tests done yesterday. About 1.5% of those were positive. We also heard yesterday the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention sending a team to the Federal Correctional Institution in Forest City, where as many as 24 inmates and 5 staff have tested positive for coronavirus. And we heard yesterday, again, Governor Hutchinson calling for a more targeted response to closing certain businesses to encourage social distancing to curb the spread of the coronavirus. But we heard Mayor Frank Scott Jr. here of Little Rock saying he would like to see a shelter-in-place order in the city. And that is not possible, though, because the governor has written an executive order that allows cities and counties and municipalities to have curfews and other restrictions on commerce, actually, so long as they don't restrict commerce. So a shelter-in-place order most certainly would do that. Governor Hutchinson again saying that only closing certain businesses, bars, restaurants, nail salons, things like that, is a better way to address the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. Again, today is the start of the fiscal session of the General Assembly. That happens every 2 years. Every other 2 years, there is the regular session where all sorts of laws are written and made. Here in the fiscal session, lawmakers are making the state's budget. And because Arkansas's constitution has a balanced budget amendment, we have to balance the budget with a $353 million loss in state revenue that has come from the coronavirus outbreak. And we did have a special session of the legislature about 2 weeks ago where lawmakers opened up about $173 million worth of funds to attempt to bridge that budget gap. But shortly after that, we saw 3 representatives all test positive for the coronavirus. Again, the State House and Senate are meeting today. And here is Governor Asa Hutchinson. He is joined by Secretary of the Department of Health, Nate Smith.
Thank you for joining us to today's COVID-19 update. I first want to express in behalf of the Jewish community that this is the first is Passover today, and this evening Jews around the world will usher in the holiday of Passover. Ever mindful of the guidance of our leaders during this crisis, the traditional Passover Seder celebration will be celebrated around the state individually rather than in communal and greater family celebrations. So I wanted to express my appreciation to the Jewish community, to the rabbi who sent me this message, and to our friends in the Jewish community. We wish you all a peace and blessings during this Passover season. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Nate Smith today, who will give a report on the cases. And then we have Secretary Mike Preston here, who, as I indicated, will be talking about some of the unemployment claims and how they're being processed and some other additional updates from an economic standpoint. Yesterday, we had 946 cases in Arkansas. There's 77 new cases. That brings our total to 1,023 cases today, with 76 hospitalized, and the number of deaths at 18 remain the same. Dr. Smith will have more on that, and I trust that he will also talk about those that have recovered. That is an interesting statistic as well. I did want to mention before Secretary Preston comes up that we have distributed $3 million already from the Economic Development Commission for applications of our short-term bridge loan program, And this helps the very small business person out there that might be struggling to meet payroll or to keep employees on. And so we have allocated $3 million have been spent already for that. I'm announcing today that I'm allocating another $1 million in additional funds from my Quick Action Closing Fund to support that bridge loan program that has received over 800 applications across Arkansas. In addition, we have the unemployment insurance claims that we have already received 110,000 applications for unemployment insurance. I want to compliment the Department of Commerce for their extraordinary work in Workforce Services and Dr. Childers in building the team to process these and answer questions under an extraordinary caseload. And we do expect that to rise. By the end of the week, we're likely to be at 150,000 unemployment claims. And so first, Dr. Smith, if you would come for your remarks.
This is Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health, Dr. Nate Smith. This is KRAR 89.1.
Just to give a little bit more detail on the lab testing, we had a total of 814 reports yesterday. 574 of those were from commercial laboratories. The Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab did 134. The total positivity rate for yesterday was 6.6%. And so we've done a total of 14,255 tests in the state. Of the 1,023 positives, as the governor mentioned, that's 77 more than yesterday. We have one new county, Franklin County. Of those 1,023 cases, 24 were children, less than 18. 252 are older Arkansans, age 65 or older. In the 18 to 24 year breakdown, it's age range at 69. We had in the 25 to 44 age range 310, and in the 45 to 64 age range we had 368. Of the total patients, 1,023, we had 15 pregnant women. For current hospitalized, we have 76, which is two more than we had yesterday. We have 68 in nursing homes. That's seven more than yesterday. We have 30 on a ventilator, which is four more than yesterday. We still have 18 deaths. We've not had any change in that number. We have 147 healthcare workers. That's 13 more than yesterday. And we have 208 who are classified as recovered. That's 56 more than yesterday. So the number recovering are approaching the number of new cases, which is good news. Of the healthcare workers, we still have 16 physicians, 47 nurses, that's six more than yesterday, and 22 CNAs. I want to talk a little bit about our 18 deaths. Four are in the 19 to 64 year old range, and 14 are Arkansans age 65 or older. We have eight of those from central Arkansas, six from northeast, three from northwest, and one from southeast, and none from southwest. In terms of racial breakdown, four of our deaths have been among African Americans, and 14 from white race. So the percentage of African American is 22% for our deaths, which is very similar to what we have for the entire 1,023 cases, which is 23.5% African American. Again, the other racial breakdown for our cases, our 1,023 cases, 66.7% white, 1.5% Asian. I want to talk, give a brief update on the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City. We have not had any new reported cases there. However, as of this morning, we do have additional symptomatic individuals, so additional testing will be done. We met with the team from CDC this morning. They will be collecting additional information and then beginning their investigation. We've talked with them about our priorities, so we have a common understanding. I want to briefly mention a report from the CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report from today about community transmission of COVID-19 within two family gatherings in Chicago, just to highlight that some of these wonderful events that in normal times are completely positive, they can unfortunately end up in tragedy. In this family gathering, which was a funeral, and then 3 days later, a birthday party, they had 16 cases and 3 deaths. So just a word of caution, some of these celebrations, we may have to be creative in the way we celebrate them without risking spread of COVID-19, especially to our vulnerable family members. And finally, I wanted to mention that this is 4 weeks since our very first case. A lot of changes have happened. People in our state have, for the most part, done a very good job with social distancing. We've seen the positive effects of that, but that's hard on us emotionally, I know. And many people are feeling socially isolated. They may be feeling financially stressed and may also be struggling with anxiety and, and depression. And so I want us to think about our emotional health, practice self-care, also reach out to others. And we'll also on our website, the Arkansas Department of Health website, we'll be posting materials on how to, what resources might be available for emotional behavioral health. With that, I'm gonna turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith, for mentioning that. And we're going to dwell upon that mental health side of this tomorrow in a little bit more detail. I do want to also want to second to what Dr. Smith said about how we're doing in Arkansas on social distancing. I continue to get reports as to businesses that are really stressing that with the wearing of masks, with the social distancing within the store and the discipline of that. And I just came from the General Assembly, and to look out in that audience and see the members of the General Assembly setting that right example also for their own health, but for the state is really important for us to see. And I want to congratulate everybody, because that's what's helping us to get through this in better fashion than many others. With that, Secretary Preston will come and talk a little bit about the financial side of this.
This is Secretary of Commerce Mike Preston.
Thank you, Governor, and thank you, Dr. Smith, for both of you guys and your leadership and what you've provided Arkansas in this past month in our trying time. We certainly all appreciate it. I do want to talk a little bit about the unemployment insurance and where we stand currently. And first, just a big appreciation to the entire team at the Department of Commerce, specifically with the Department of Workforce Services, and those folks on the front line who are in our workforce centers all around the state who are processing all these calls and handling the applications. And even though we've discouraged going in person, people still coming in person, and they're handling those as well. So we would hope that you would go to our website and file online, since the governor has waived that requirement to go in person. We've also repurposed and reassigned staff within the Department of Commerce to handle the additional call volume. We now have over 80 folks from Commerce and DWS combined answering these phone calls. So you have folks who normally would be doing economic development or insurance or finance and are handling these calls, because we're all hands on deck here to try to get those answered. As the governor alluded to, we're a little over 110,000. Anticipate that number to continue to rise throughout the course of this week, and probably somewhere around 150,000 by the week's end. Again, the easiest way to apply would be through our website, and that's easyarc.adws.arkansas.gov. We've added some additional capacity there, so folks can get through that fairly quickly. Our calls have dropped each week in terms of the number that we're seeing, and I think that's because more folks are able to get through on the EZARC site. Last night, we had our first pandemic unemployment compensation checks go out. This is the additional $600 that was provided by the CARES Act that folks are getting on top of their normal UI claims from the state. So again, those first checks came out. If you have already applied, you don't have to reapply or go in. Those checks will come, and that will be added into an addition to what you're currently receiving. And I will remind those who are filing for the first time and never been through this, you do have to go recertify each week and check in to assure that your status has not changed. Once you do that, that will release you in the system, and we'll be able to process again, including that $600. Where we're running into a lot of questions is the second part of the CARES Act, and that's the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, referred to as PUA. And this is for those independent contractors, the self-employed, freelancers, gig economy workers. We just received our guidance from the Federal Department of Labor on this on Sunday night. And what it's going to require us to do is to build an entire new system to be able to process and handle these types of claims. That's because this has never been done before, and our system are not able to build to be compatible with the information that we're going to have to receive. Arkansas is not unique in this. Every state is going through the same process. So for those individuals, I say we have to wait. We're probably about a three-week time frame for us to build out that system and then start to process those claims. The good news is we are able to backdate that once we have that system up and running and we go through. So if your separation or your business went down at, you know, March 18th due to COVID-19, we will be able to backdate those payments. So what we're seeing a lot now is folks calling our hotline or trying to apply online and getting kicked out and saying, you know, what happened? I call. That's tying up phone lines. If you fit in that category of the pandemic unemployment assistance, those independent contractors, freelancers, and self-employed, please wait. We will continue to update on social media. We'll send out press releases and try to notify folks as best we can when we have a certain date on that. But our team is partnering with other state departments as well as some outside contractors to come in and help build the system as quick as we possibly can. But I'd say hang with us. I know it's going to be a challenging couple weeks to get through, but we will get through it together, and we will be able to backdate those. On the positive side, on the economic front, we are pleased to see the number of applications that are coming in and how quickly our team has been able to work to turn those around. And as the governor alluded to, because of such, and we don't want to keep people in a holding pattern as they're waiting for the SBA funds to release, he has released another $1 million from the Quick Action Closing Fund that will be able to continue to do those loans to the small businesses. Right now we've done about 138 of those, representing about 47 counties around the state. And again, these are a 0% interest loan up to $25,000, no payments for 12 months. And what we're requiring is that you maintain a level of jobs so you can continue to have people employed. Our hope and goal on this is to make sure that we don't send more people to have to go to unemployment, but we can keep as many of these businesses open as we can. And as the SBA works through the funds that are coming through the CARES Act, that we have a little bit of a bridge to help those folks out. Then I'd wrap up by just saying that if you are interested in those SBA loans, we encourage you to talk to your banker. They are working very closely with the SBA on the Paycheck Protection Program, the bridge loans, the economic injury disaster, all these funds that are available to small businesses throughout the state. Try to help them through this difficult time. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Mike. And with that, we're glad to take any questions. Frank.
Governor, state of Texas, using its coronavirus emergency powers, has temporarily banned all abortions that are not necessary to protect the mother's life or health. Are you going to implement a similar temporary ban in Arkansas, or have you already done so, or is this a decision that's best left to the General Assembly?
Well, we have issued a very similar order, in fact, almost identical order here in Arkansas that they issued in Texas. Governor Abbott and issued a directive through his Department of Health, and ours came through the Department of Health as well, which was to all surgery clinics and other medical providers that if there was elective surgeries and procedures, then those should be postponed. We're trying to reduce the use of personal protective equipment during this time, but also reducing travelers that come in for those elective procedures. In this instance, the abortion clinic in question is included in those clinic advisory, and that is under investigation because my understanding is that from Dr. Smith that there are out-of-state people from Tennessee and other states that might be hot spots that are coming into that facility. That is a great concern, and that is whether it's an orthopedic clinic or whether it is a some other type of clinic or whether it's an abortion clinic. The fact that people will be coming in from out of state during this time violates the direction that we're trying to go and the safety procedures we're trying to put into place. So that matter is under review and investigation by the Department of Health.
So if it's not necessary to protect the mother's life or health, they shouldn't be performing abortions. Is that correct?
I left my comment just the way I answered it. Dr. Smith, did you have anything to add to that?
We are particularly concerned about out-of-state individuals coming in for procedures. Now, in rural areas, that's not really an issue. In border counties, that's not an issue because we do understand people oftentimes do have to cross state lines to get needed, necessary care. And of course, if someone comes into our state and needs emergent medical care, that's a completely different thing. But in these times when we're trying to limit travel, limit the spread of COVID-19, it doesn't really make sense for someone to come from another state, you know, to the middle of our state to get a procedure done that is not emergent or for a immediately life-threatening condition.
Other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any updates on the primary care pay increase that you mentioned in March? We've had several healthcare professionals reach out saying that they haven't heard any updates on that.
A good question. This is the extra pay for direct care workers dealing with COVID-19 patients. And we asked for a waiver from the CMS, the Health and Human Services in Washington, so we can implement that kind of payment system for those that are dealing direct care with COVID-19 patients. They have not granted that waiver, which is disappointing to me. I've talked to the officials there. They're still reviewing it, so we'll wait and see where that goes. But this is something that I believe is very important, and I hope that, one, that waiver is granted. If that waiver is not granted, we're going to look for other ways to see if we can be helpful to meet those needs.
I was wanting to ask about the rapid tests from Abbott Labs, just what those are going to be used for, and also just in terms of the health department's testing, what is the criteria now for the type of test that the health department is performing?
Let me start with Abbott Labs, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Smith. But Abbott Labs, through the Arkansas Heart Hospital, made that donation. And they wanted that to prioritize for our healthcare workers so they would have a rapid turnaround of a test that they needed. And so, Dr. Smith, did you want to add to that?
Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Yes, those Abbott Now or point of care tests, they're portable machines, and the cassettes can be used to get an answer on a positive in minutes. And so they're very, very useful, particularly for outbreak investigations. We received one of those machines from Heart Hospital. Dr. Bruce Murphy generously gave that to us for use in testing healthcare workers. We also received another 15 machines from the CDC through the IRR. And we also received some test cassettes from there as well. So we will be using those Abbott machines and test kits, the ones that came from Heart Hospital specifically for healthcare workers, but we'll be using the ones that we received through the IRR from our federal partners. We'll be using those more widely for outbreak investigations, for example, in nursing homes, and if we have outbreaks, for example, in an incarcerated setting where we need to know that information as quickly as possible to make decisions. They can be very helpful. We can take those actually to the site as long as we have a trained laboratorian with us.
Why did the CDC state report cases in a specific nursing home, but not in a specific hospital?
Well, we try and protect confidentiality of our patients, and we have not been reporting them from a specific hospital. And also, it's very difficult to do that because people are admitted and discharged from the hospital. They don't always notify us when they do that.
Can you update us? Do we currently have plenty of tests? Update us on the status of tests available in the state. And is there a push as we're seeing more tests, maybe change some of the standards? Do we want to test more Arkansans that maybe don't have the specific symptoms currently listed?
We do. We want to continue testing within those priority groups. I don't think we've tested all the people who are in those priority groups, particularly those who have symptoms and are either age 65 or older or have underlying medical conditions. We want to make sure that we're testing as many of those individuals as possible. As our capability increases, though, particularly through the commercial labs, then I think others who have symptoms who are maybe younger or don't have underlying medical conditions, that'd be very helpful. I'm still not encouraging people to get tested under most situations if they don't have symptoms, because there's a possibility they could get a negative result, feel like, well, that means I'm not infected, but actually it was just too early an infection for the test to turn positive.
Do you have any estimates or projections on how many people could be positive for COVID-19 that are undiagnosed in Arkansas?
We don't have good estimations for that. We do know that with our testing, over 90% of the people that we are testing, even using those sort of narrow criteria, are testing negative. So that's a good sign. So I don't think there are large pockets of positive infected people out there that we don't know anything about. Obviously, if we could do more tests, we would be more feel more assured of our numbers. I think our numbers are a good representation of where we are as a state with the volume we have. Ideally, we would like everyone to be able to know their status. Right now, we're not quite there.
Turnaround time on the normal Health Department lab test?
The lab test that we do in the Arkansas Department of Health lab, we can get a result out from the time we receive a specimen in 6 to 8 hours. And so usually we're able to get results back the next day because there takes a time for the specimen to come to the lab.
For Forest City, although there are no new cases, but there's more people showing symptoms, are you separating those people that are symptomatic, or what is the protocol, or what is the CDC recommending?
Yes, they're taking initiatives to try and separate out those who have been exposed or symptomatic. Again, our CDC team will help us, will help our federal partners to do that more effectively, I believe. But we need to do a lot more testing. A lot more needs to happen there.
Frank?
Yeah. The state received 100,000 doses of hydroxychloroquine. And I wanted to ask you, for Arkansans that are thinking about taking that, do they have nothing to lose? Is there risk, reward? What would you tell them?
I'll turn it over to Dr. Smith to answer that question, but I would note that that gift and that drug goes for multiple different purposes. And so I think any time that UMS can receive a gift like that, that's a good thing. But Dr. Smith, you can talk about the efficacy of it.
Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith again.
Certainly. Now, I've not had the chance to talk with Chancellor Patterson or folks at UMS to know what their plans are. I think probably the highest priority for that is for people who are using hydroxychloroquine for other conditions, particularly autoimmune diseases, because it can be hard to find, I understand, with there being kind of a run on it. So I think that's the highest priority. And then I'm not sure what their intentions are at UAMS, but if there could be some sort of protocol put together so that we could collect information on those who are being treated to get more information on how effective it might be. Again, there's no medication that doesn't have some side effects. We've had these medications, hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine, for a long time, so we know their adverse effects pretty well. What we don't really know is how much benefit, or if there is benefit, in treating patients with COVID-19.
Yes, ma'am.
Governor Hutchinson, we're getting several allegations that the State Department of Veteran Affairs is not allowing the Veteran Services officers to work from home. Just wanted to know, were you aware of this happening, or have you heard anything about it?
No, I'll be happy to look into it. Our Veteran Service officers play a valuable function, and they have a lot of responsibility supporting our veterans. Our directive is that when they can work remotely, we want them to be able to do that in order to increase social distancing and prevent the spread. So be happy to look into that.
Governor, you just delivered your State of the State address. We've heard talk of legislators looking at anywhere from 3 to 5% cuts across the board, except in key areas. What could that look like? What could that mean for the average Arkansan, in your opinion? Cuts, the effect of this that we're seeing?
To the average Arkansan, they will not see a diminishing of important services. As I mentioned, we're going to fully fund education, our public education system, and make sure we meet our obligations of adequacy in education. We're going to fund public safety and our prison systems. We have a need and an obligation to keep those well-funded. In terms of our Medicaid, there's going to be actually some increased need there, but that's a shared responsibility with the federal government. So I see all of those essential services during this time being met. What you're going to see, though, are a tightening of the belt within state government. It is going to hit everybody. There'll be some grant funds that's going to not be as available, perhaps. And so this is going to be a shared burden among our state agencies, and there will be some impact in the public sphere. But we hope that will be minimal if we can manage it right. And the final point is that I did say we need to have a reserve fund or a discretionary fund that we can use to fill holes. That's how you manage the budget. And so, we have a restricted reserve fund right now that can be utilized to manage shortfalls in the budget to meet urgent needs that are out there jointly between myself and the legislature. All right.
Governor, quick question for you over Zoom, if that's all right.
Yes.
Yes, this is Erica Thomas with KFSM in Fort Smith and Fayetteville. We were just curious, with the spread kind of varying across the state, would there be any consideration of business restrictions being lifted kind of on a case-by-case basis regionally across the state, or would that only be implemented statewide?
Well, first of all, I thank you for the question. I like being able to talk about the future when we can lift some of these restrictions on restaurants and on barbershops and these kind of services that require human contact. So we do look at that day. We're not there yet, and I would expect that when we get there, that will be addressed at a statewide level. That's been our pattern. I think it's been useful for us, but we'll continue to look at that. But we're not close enough to that point yet that we can give any definitive answer as to that time frame.
Thank you.
Any other question from remotely? All right. So with that, thank you all for being here today, and I hope you have a good afternoon.
That was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily press briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Today we heard the governor saying that there are now 1,023 cases confirmed of coronavirus here in the state. That's an increase of 77 new cases since yesterday. Currently, 76 people are hospitalized. 18 people have died of COVID-19 in Arkansas. That number is unchanged from yesterday. We also heard a bit about the economic side of the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. We heard that Secretary of Commerce Mike Preston saying his department has received 110,000 applications for unemployment insurance. He expects that to go up to as much as 150,000 by the end of this week. We heard about two sort of bottlenecks in some direct payments that would be coming to Arkansans, possibly. One is part of the $2 trillion bailout by the federal government known as the CARES Act. That is pandemic unemployment assistance that goes to gig economy workers, self-employed people, independent contractors. Secretary Preston saying that his department could not issue those payments until they received guidance from the federal government. They just received that guidance on Sunday night. And unfortunately, it means they have to build an entire new system. He said that could take as many as 3 weeks. We also heard from Governor Hutchinson about direct payments, $55 million that would be going to non-physician healthcare workers, like nurses primarily. That would be $1,000 a month for all workers and $2,000 a month for people working in a facility that treats COVID-19 patients. Governor Hutchinson said he has asked for a waiver from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. That waiver has not been granted, and the state cannot issue those payments until it is approved. But we did hear another part of the Federal CARES Act, the pandemic unemployment compensation checks. That's $600 on top of regular unemployment payments. We heard Secretary Preston saying the first of those payments went out last night. Again, you've been listening to live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's coronavirus briefing. This is KYR News.